Well, hey, good morning, friends, and welcome back to the teaching and preaching ministry of Mohican Church. I am Pastor Paul Bartholomew, and we're so glad to be able to have you here with us today. I am preaching this morning from the sanctuary, so if it looks a little different, I haven't preached in here for quite a while, but the way the scheduling is and everything today, this is where I am. Just glad to be able to have you join us as we turn to the Word. And so we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4, and so if you have your Bible handy, want to encourage you to turn there, and then we're going to get into the Word. Before we do that, though, let's pray. Father God, as we gather here today, we so thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have shown us. We thank you, God, that indeed you have so loved us. And Father, we just acknowledge before you that there's nothing we could do to deserve that love. We do understand that, perhaps not as clearly as we should understand it, but we acknowledge that before you today. And we pray, God, that we would continue to grow in that understanding of how deep your love for us. Well, Father, as we turn to your word today, we acknowledge that we're going to need your help from the get-go, as Jesus is the love of Christ made alive in us needs to be passed on to those around us. And so, God, we're going to need your help. And like we do every time we approach your word, we're going to need your help. And so we pray, Father, that you would, that our hearts would be teachable. We pray, Father, that you would, by your grace, Lord, that you would teach and instruct where you need to correct us, then correct us, Lord, where we need rebuke, then Father, we just, we pray, Lord, for that loving rebuke. We pray, Father, that where we simply need instruction, then show us the way to go. And we pray all this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, even in church life, we sometimes have a challenge with loving one another. I don't know if you ever had that difficulty, but for some it seems to be a struggle. I'm guessing that you've had that trouble too. Even amongst believers, it is a challenge. I remember hearing a pastor one time say, "You know, I love everything about ministry except the people." And I think he was kidding when he said that, but you know, it just brings out that reality that, wow, church is made up of people and pastors are made up of people. And sometimes we find it difficult to love with the love of Christ. So that was one weary pastor who had said that. But you know, since I have heard many, many people say, "Well, you know, me and God, we're fine. It's just people that I can't stand." Well, we're going to take another look today in 1 John chapter 4, at fellowship with the faithful one, in a message that I've entitled "Love Revisited." Fellowship with the faithful one is the title of the series, but "Love Revisited" is our theme for today. It comes straight out of 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. If you have your Bible, go ahead and look there with me. Once again, we're not talking about John 1. I remember that, I mentioned that because I remember making that mistake when I was younger, when I was newer to the scriptures, and I would hear 1 John, somehow in my mind that translated to John chapter 1, and I would go there, and that's a great book and a great chapter, but this is a whole separate book. It's a whole separate book. It's one of the little letters that we find having been written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but penned by John, the same one who wrote the gospel. Anyway, it's 1 John. It's a little letter back toward the end, clear to the right side of your Bible, back in there, almost to Revelation. All right, and so 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, helps us to take a look at this, this love revisited. Here it is. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Well, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," but he hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. It wasn't that long ago, just a few short weeks, that he ended another section like that. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. That was in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. And so we moved on. He talked about a few different things, but then comes right back to this theme of love and ending with this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so, listen, we're not just talking about flesh and blood, sibling, as far as those who were born in the flesh, into the same household that you were. We're not talking just about that, brother. In fact, what we're talking about here is within the body of Christ, our brothers, and I believe this has to carry on over to our sisters, that we love our brother, we love our sister. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but I think it's important for us to understand that reality, that whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, we get into the text this morning, and you might be thinking, are you serious? Really? Love again? You're going back to that? Well, I mean, I am, because I'm just following through the text. But John did, because it really is a big deal. The love that we have for one another, the love of God made manifest in us to our brothers and sisters. And so, he's bringing it back in the same letter, after he has already, he has already emphasized this. You might even say harped on it, all right? He was very clear about the fact that he's like, no, listen, loving one another, it's not an optional package for a believer. It's not something that when you're going through, you know, you get your basic model Christ follower, and then if you want to add the love package, you can add the love package. If you want to add the grace and mercy package, you can add that. If you want to add some forgiveness in there, and a little loving kindness for good measure, that's not how it works. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so, love is just part of the deal. It's part of having been made new in Christ. And so, you may recall in John chapter 13, and so this is why this would have been a big deal to John, the writer, today. He heard the words of Jesus Christ when Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love one another as I have loved you. And so talked about that a few weeks ago, really kind of ramps the game up. He's not simply talking about us learning to tolerate someone, but loving them with the love of Christ. In the same way that Christ loves us, Jesus the Christ, of whom it is said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Love one another as I have loved you. It's high stakes. It's high stakes. And so, but that's the love to which he calls us. That's the emphasis that Jesus put on it. He says, no, listen, your love for one another is going to be the defining characteristic. That's how people are going to know that you are my disciples, that you are not of the world. Right? By the way, you love one another. You say, okay, well, all right, that's one small section in Scripture. Yes, it is. So would you rather hear another? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, now they were a dysfunctional bunch. And apparently, as they experienced and understood the spiritual gifts, there were things that they didn't understand about them. And in fact, spiritual giftedness became a source of pride for them. And so as the gifts were explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and by the way, it was in chapter 11 that we glanced at last week in person worship when we celebrated the bread and cup communion, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in 1 Corinthians 11 and then said, no, listen, y'all have some heart issues. You dare not partake of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. And so they had displayed so much unlove, if you will. They had displayed hostility toward one another. They had displayed selfishness toward one another. And so he has already addressed all of that and then addresses the spiritual gifts, which had also become a source of contention amongst the believers. And then God inspired Paul to write this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Oh, he had just told them about some pretty amazing gifts. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing or speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts is how he closes out chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Listen to how he speaks about the importance of love in the life of the Christ follower and the how vital it is within the body of Christ. Now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, right? So he's going back to all of those gifts that they were arguing about, fighting about, using to try to jockey for position in the kingdom within the church. He's like, hold on. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that moves mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give everything that I possess to the poor, if I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And so today, when we open our text in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, and he immediately starts out with, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And we may be thinking, oh man, he's back at it. Yeah, really, because it's really a big deal. And I don't know about you, but I am finding God moving in my own heart, working on my own heart, stepping on my own toes as he brings this back. So how are you doing at loving one another? So we might object, but God, this love that you speak of is too great a burden to bear. Which is, Yes, it's a play on a Martin Luther King quote. Martin Luther King Jr., hate is too great a burden to bear. But we may say, I don't know, love, this love, God, is too great a burden to bear. Isn't there something else that I could do instead? Isn't there some other way, God? Because, well, you know, the way that they have acted toward me and the duration of their irritation to me, God, it's got me not, just not feeling it. That's it. Isn't there something else that I could do? I'm reminded in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and perhaps you are reminded as well. You know, the command, as Jesus mentioned in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, the command is the command to love. And so for those of us who would say, oh no, listen, well, even as Paul had addressed, hey, even if I surrender my body to the flames, like, no, here's how God feels about those kind of sacrifices instead of obedience. When you have a chance, read 1 Samuel 15, and read 1 Samuel 15, and you can read all about when Samuel came, and Saul was rejected as king because of his disobedience. It's an awesome story. Not going to take time for it right now, but in 1 Samuel 15, make a note, go back to it this afternoon with your coffee and brownies. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, says, does the Lord delight? This is Samuel's response to Saul. When Saul had used the excuse, well, yes, I didn't do what I was told, but I was going to bring those things as a sacrifice. Samuel replied, verse 22, 1 Samuel 15, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. He went on to pronounce that Saul, the kingdom was stripped away from Saul. You've been rejected as king. He said, well, this new command, Jesus says, I give to you. You must love one another as I have loved you. And so, yeah, really love again. As we go back to our text today, I just want to invite you back in 1 John chapter 4 now, verses 7 and 8. Some of you, by the way, if you grew up in the same era that I did, in the same area that I did, you may already be thinking that that camp song that we learned, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. You remember the song. Perhaps you sang along. But it's one that that can so readily be impressed on our minds, but so desperately needs impressed on our hearts if we're going to honor the Lord. And so 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, very simply, and I'm going to cut through these fairly quickly again because so much of this is echoed. But God is the source of genuine love. In chapters, verses 7 and 8, dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And so, friends, just that reminder, wherever we see love, the genuine article, wherever we see love in its purest form, in whatever fashion, whatever face it may take on, if that love is genuine, then you know that it came from God because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God. And so, so listen, we recognize sometimes we look at the people around us, you know, in our school or at work or wherever it might be. Shoot, when we're out shopping or we're driving down the highway, we see a lot of unloving things done. And that doesn't mean that a Christ follower can't ever do an unloving thing. But when that becomes when love is the pattern of our lives, when there is that consistent picture, then he says, well, that person knows God. Then that is the consistent life that they live. It's a life of love. When that is consistent, that's an evidence of the love of God in Christ in our hearts, because again, he makes new. But when unloving things, when unloving attitudes and words, and you know, when an unloving lifestyle is witnessed, and that's the consistent pattern of that life, then it's evident that that individual was never born of God. Born of the flesh, but again, you know what? The old expression, when we're born twice, we die once. If we're born only once, then we die twice, right? We die physically and we die spiritually if we're only born once. If we're born twice, then we only face the physical death. Our souls enjoy eternal life with Jesus Christ. Well, anyhow, so the one who is born again is going to love. Verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. So once again, God is the source of genuine love. Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of that love. All right, he is the perfect expression. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God. We didn't start this. God started it. John chapter 3, verse 16 is one of those places that reminds us that God's this beautiful expression, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 reminds us that when we were objects of wrath, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus because of his great love for us, right? Romans chapter 8, 31 and 32 reminds us of the love of God, that it's like, hold on, he did not even spare his own Son. And so we see echoed again in verses 9 and 10, that here is our pattern for love, the purest expression. It came from God. The purest expression of that love was in Jesus Christ. And then verses 11 and 12, he's like, okay, well now listen, Christ follower, now you're the ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are reminded, as though God were making his appeal through us, we are ambassadors of the love that we have found in Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors to the world with that, and we have got to take it to them. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Check this out. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. We had already referenced that a couple of weeks ago. But that if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So I don't know if you've given much thought to the way that you love, the way that I love, which leaves a lot of room for improvement. I don't know if we've given much thought to the fact that it's like, no, listen, this truly is. I truly am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Which means then I am his representative. And one of the ways that we represent is truly, we talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. But truly, according to the scriptures, that this invisible God becomes real, if you will, to individuals who are standing on the outside looking in when they see the love of God in Christ Jesus lived out in us. I have been loved much, I can love much. I have been forgiven much, I can forgive much. Right? Listen, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, he lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. All right? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Verses 13 through 16, what a beautiful passage here that reminds us We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms the life of Christ within us. And the Holy Spirit is the same one then who enables us to live out this command of God to love one another. So Holy Spirit, he has given us of his Spirit, that which again enables us to be who he's called us to be, to live out the command, to walk in obedience. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So once again, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, verse 15, God lives in him and he lives in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. But again, it all comes back to the person of Jesus Christ. It all comes back to not simply acknowledging him as an historical figure, but acknowledging him as Christ and Lord. Right? Acknowledging him as Lord and Christ. And so it once again brings us back to the question which we took a look at last week. Referencing Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus looked into the face of his followers and said, okay, wait. So I know who the world says I am, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Brings us right back to it, doesn't it? So who is this Jesus? Is he both Lord and Christ in my life? Verses 17 and 18. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. Check this out. Those who live in this consistent pattern of God's love need not fear judgment. Need not fear judgment. Because the pattern of his love in us is evidence that we have been made new, having been brought from death to life. Remembering that also from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so here he's saying, hey, listen. When the love of God is made manifest in you, that is just something that you can check in your spirit that allows you to know. It's like, no, listen, I don't need to fear the judgment. I don't need to fear standing before God because I know his love in me. And I am, by his grace, pouring it out on the people that I come in contact with. I am loving my brothers, loving my sisters authentically. All right? When that kind of love is the consistent pattern of our lives, and he says, you don't need to fear the judgment. It's evident that you've been made new. There is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So fearing judgment, that is a good indicator that we need to check our connection to Jesus Christ. Okay? It is a good indicator. If we are so fearful of judgment, then we need to go back and say, okay, hold on. Is it based on a misunderstanding of the promises of God? Because the promises of God remind us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? The promises of God remind us that those who are in Christ Jesus, we are wrapped in his righteousness. We're given that robe, if you will, of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to our account when we trust in him. And so when we come before him, do you remember the story of the prodigal in Luke 15? When we come before him, we come to him in humility and brokenness, and we come to him on his terms and not our own. He wrapped up that prodigal with that repentant spirit. He just wrapped him up. All the filth, all the grime, all the mud, all the stench of his past life just wrapped up and smothered by that robe of righteousness. And that's what Scripture tells us that he does for us in Jesus Christ. And so if we've been made new in him, and we're still fearing judgment, then And perhaps it's that we're not remembering the promises, but perhaps it's that we are refusing to love. And listen, if we live a life consistently refusing to love one another as Christ has loved us, then we better check our connection. Fearing judgment is not for those who are in Christ. Fearing judgment should be for the unbeliever. Excuse me. Now, just one little note. According to Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 verse 18 reminds us that, speaking of the ungodly, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So some who do not fear, it's because they've got a seared conscience. And so that's something else that we need to be aware of. But in this case, when he's talking about this fear of judgment and how perfect love drives out fear, that love that is made complete in the Father through Jesus Christ, made manifest in us, and poured out, then that perfect love drives out fear. And we need not fear the judgment. When we love as Christ loves us, it's an evidence that we belong to Him, that we have been called from darkness into the wonderful light, from death to life, all right? And so then finally, he says, this quick summary in verses 19 to 21, he kind of wraps it up, says, all right, here it is. We love because he first loved us, right? Again, it all started in him. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar, okay? And so he just puts it out there in clear terms. If you say you love God, you got to love your brother too. He's like, okay, well, listen, let me make it clear. Let me say it a little louder for those in the back. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he hasn't seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. My friends, this is our mission. This is our mission. We must love one another, that the world may know that we have a Savior, and that they then have hope of newness of life as well. All right? Our love inspiring hope in those who are yet walking in darkness. And so we need to get after that. The Holy Spirit will make us able. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you, Lord, for these, my brothers and my sisters. I am grateful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to spend this time in the Word together. Lord, we are reminded that there is much work that you have to do in our hearts. And so we do just pray that you would have at it. That you would have at it. Father, we're a long way from where we used to be, but God, we're a long way from where we need to be, most of us, when it comes to loving as we have been loved in Christ. So help us, God. Father, we pray that your name might be glorified, that the name of Christ would be exalted, that he would be lifted up, and that those walking in darkness could see the way that we love and need some of that and come to saving faith in Christ our Lord. We pray this all in his name. Amen. Hey, well, listen, friends, I do thank you for coming out to your TV coming out. thank you for joining us today. And listen, if I haven't told you lately, I love you like crazy, all right? I don't always show it as I ought. Because what I ought to do is love you with the love of Christ. And I know that that's not always easily recognizable. And so pray for me, as I pray for you, that we can love one another as we ought, that God receives the glory. Amen. Hey, listen, have a blessed week, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you.